Put out the cigarettes, turn off the phones. Put out the cigarettes and turn off the phones. Including electrical contraptions. Rabbi Kovitz. One of the main topics in the parasha is the story of Eliezer being sent to find a wife for Yitzchak. And he makes himself certain signs that in his opinion will be an indication that this is a designated wife for Yitzchak. He sets off on his journey and he gets to a well, gets to a water well, and he's standing by this water well and he sees a girl who's approaching the well, and from the scene that he sees in front of him he can see that she's coming to fill up a container with water for herself. And the pasuk says Vatered ha'ina v'tamale kado v'tal, that she goes down to the well and she fills up her keli that she's got with her, the kad, jug, whatever it was that she's got with her, and then she's walking away from the water well. And the pasuk continues and says Vayoratz ha'eved likroso, that Eliezer runs towards her, doesn't walk towards her, he runs towards her. Vayomer, and he says to Hagmeini, not no ma'at mayim mikadech, let me have some water from your keli, from your utensil. And she says to him, drink, take as much as you want. Vatamahe, and she rushes to take the jug or the utensil and put it down in order that he can drink from it. And then she says to him, you know what, I'll give you camels to drink as well. And the pasuk says Vatamaher. Again, she rushes off, takes the jug, pour it into the trough. In other words, the water that's left in the jug she pours into the trough in order that the camels should have where to drink from. And then the pasuk says Vatorat. She runs again. Oid. Second time, third time, Belaber, to the well. Lishoiv, to draw water. Vatishav lekol gemalav, and she draws water for all her, for all his camels. And there's a tremendous amount of running around and rushing around here, right? He's running towards her, she's running to take the cut off of her shoulder where it was, according to Rashi, who says that that was the custom, that they used to carry around jugs on their shoulders. Then she's running off to pour the water into the trough for the camels. Then she's rushing back again to the Be'er to fill up the jug again to give the camels more. She's running around all over the place. Totally ADD'd out of her mind. And he's also running around. Why is she running around? Well, she's very religious. She knows that she's going to do a mitzvah. And in order to be mekayim a mitzvah of chesed or a mitzvah of achnasas orchim, so therefore she's running around. And if we see this even later on as well, it says vatorotz hanayra v'tagid lebeis imo, when he says to her, maybe you can put me up for a period of time, I can stay by you, she goes rushing off to her mother to ask whether there's room in the house and whether He can stay there. So she's running around because the reason Magdim in a mitzvah, it's the beginning, you're doing a mitzvah, you run around, you rush to do a mitzvah. First halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Chizka Bekari, get up in the morning, run around, do, hin and a hair. But why is he running around? What's he running? Why is he running to see who this girl is? He's got no idea yet whether this girl is the right girl or is not the right girl. He doesn't know who she is at all. She's not the only girl in the world. There are a lot of girls in the world. So why is he running? Why does the Pasuk start off and say that Vayorat Eved Likrosa, that he runs towards her and he says to her, are you willing to give me some water to drink? What's he running around about? Now on that Pasuk, that Vayorat Eved Likrosa, that the Eved ran towards her, Rashi says the following. Even though he had no idea whether this is the right girl or this is not the right girl, on the one hand, because none of the indications that he had determined for himself beforehand will be the simonim, will be the indications that this is the right girl to marry Rivka, even though none of this has happened yet, because the whole process hadn't yet started, nothing had started yet, says Rashi, nevertheless, he had a very, very strong gut feeling that this was probably the right girl. And where, says Rashi, where was this strong gut feeling coming from? So Rashi says, because he saw something very strange happening when she went to the well in order to fill up her jug for herself in order to drink from the well. What did he see happening? Says Rashi, and it's based on Chazal, that he saw Sha'olu hamayim miteicha be'er likroso k'derech nes. He saw that the water, which was deep down inside the well, miraculously came up to the top of the well. V'lehutzricho lahayrid kado v'lishoiv. And she didn't have to lower the jug or the bucket or whatever it was into the water in order to draw water from the well. She didn't have to do anything to get the water from the well. The water came to her. And this is unusual, to say the least. This is miraculous. And because he saw this happening, and because he saw this miracle happening, he had a feeling that this is probably the right girl. And the Ramban, commenting on Rashi, which Rashi is actually based on a Medrash and the Medrash Rabbah, the Ramban, commenting on Rashi, says, where did Chazal see this in the Pasuk? The Pasuk doesn't mention anything about a Nes happening. So how did Chazal know, or where did they see it from, in the Pasuk, that there was a Nes here, that she didn't have to draw the water from the well, the water came up to her. So the Ramban says, it's very clear in the Pasuk. Because the following Pasuk, as we just said, when she's going to get water for the camels, says quite clearly that she had to draw water from the well. Vatishav, that she had to draw the water out of the well. Here, in this Pasuk, when he's talking about her taking the water the first time, it doesn't say that she had to draw the water out of the well. All it says is that Vatamale Kado, she filled up the kad that she was holding. Says the Ramban, why doesn't it say here as well that she drew the water from the well in order to fill up the jug that she was holding? Elamai, she didn't have to draw the water from the well because the water came to her because it was an eth. And that's how Chazal knew that in this case a miracle had taken place. To which the Kedusha Levi, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Bedichev, asks a very simple question. He says, why Taka? Why is it that the first time when she came to the well, a miracle happened and the water came up towards her. The second time, when she goes to draw to take water from the well, no miracle happens and she has to put effort in and draw the water out of the well. So the Kedushas Levi says there's a very simple answer to this. He says the first time she went to get the water, she was going to get the water for herself. She wanted to drink. She was thirsty. She was filling up water for herself. She was a tzaddikus. So the Ribbono Shel Olam decided to do a nes for her. And instead of her having to bend down and put in effort and pull the water out the well, the water came out for her. The second time when she went to the well to draw the water, why was she going for the well to draw the water? Not for herself. She was going to draw the water in the well to give him water and to give the camels water. So the second time she was doing it for a mitzvah. If you're doing it for a mitzvah, says Rabbi Yitzchak Mevedichiv, you have to put in effort. When you're doing mitzvahs, you have to put in effort. And then he continues and he says the following. He says, Heva Yadua, you should know that there's a Zoya. And the Zoya says that any mitzvah, Shebo, Beli Lishalem Avuro, any mitzvah the person does, which comes to him easily without any effort, Humi Sitra Achro. It's coming from the Sultan. Ki avor mitzvah, because in order to do a mitzvah, tzrichim lishalem, you have to pay. Sometimes you have to pay with money, and sometimes you have to pay, says Rabbi Yitzchak Mevedichiv, biyagiyah, with effort. Therefore, when she was going to do a mitzvah, there was a payment involved. And the payment was, you got to put in effort. And on the basis of this, I once heard from very great Jew, the old Sklena Rebbe. He said that, what do we see from this Kedushas Levi? That people have the wrong attitude in life. All of us are basically superstitious. It's just that the superstition comes out in different ways. The guy who's really a psychological crackpot, right, is convinced he's going to have a bad day if the door opens in a certain way. Right, and they get the guys who, you know, won't tread on the paving stones on the lines. They'll only hop between the lines, because if Chas Hashalom will tread on the line, then the world's going to collapse. Right, but everybody deep down inside them has a certain element of superstition. Everybody's looking for signs the whole time. Even the atheists are looking for signs from God. Right? Everybody's looking for a sign from God. The nature, so the Sklerana Rebbe, of a person is that when he sees, or he tries to do something, and it's not working out the way he wants it to work out, his immediate superstitious reaction is, this is a sign from God that I'm doing the wrong thing. Because if I was meant to be, if I was doing the right thing, then God will help me. And what Rabbi Yitzchak Mevedichiv is saying, he says, is the exact opposite. What he's saying is that if one's trying to do the right thing, and in every single step that a person makes, there's something which is a mania. There's something which is stopping him. There's something which is disturbing him. There's something which is messing him up. Then know you're on the right track. Because if you weren't on the right track, if you were on the wrong track, it would go easy. Because there, the Yetzer Hara and the Sitra Achira, they don't care. Fine, go ahead. Go straight to it. If it's coming difficult, it's a raya that you're probably doing the right thing. I always say over a story of a gentleman that I knew. He was a builder here in Yerushalayim. In the late 60s, he was a very successful builder. And he was building a large complex here in Yerushalayim. And things went sour. And he bankrupted. And he owed a huge sum of money to the banks, but he wasn't so worried about the banks. What he was more worried about was that there were a lot of young couples that had given him deposits on apartments that they were going, that they had bought by him, and now that he couldn't build these apartments because he was bankrupt, they were going to lose their money. And these people had given him the entire sums of money that they had. These were young married couples, and this was all the money that they had, and they gave him the money, and he desperately wanted to pay them back. And in that point in time, in the late 60s, it was a huge sum of money. It was $70,000. $70,000 in those days was like millions today. It was a huge sum of money. And he decided that he's got no choice. He'll go to America and he'll try and fundraise in America. So he went to America. And he stayed by a cousin of his who lived in Williamsburg. And he arrived in America. And he explained to his cousin the story, and he said he's going to try fundraising in order to raise enough money to pay back these people who have given him deposits. And his cousin said to him, that if you're trying to do that, then it would be worthwhile for you to get a bracha from an Adam Gadol. Go into an Adam Gadol and ask him for a bracha. So he said, fine, who should I go to? So he said, you're here in Williamsburg, around the corner is the old Satmar Rebbe, Rav Yailish. Go into the Satmar Rebbe and ask him for a bracha. So he made an appointment to go into the Satmar Rebbe, and he walked into the Satmar Rebbe, and he told him over the story. That he's a builder, he'd been a builder for years in Yerushalayim, and he was a Baal Parnosa, and he was a Baal Stucker. And he built this complex, and he bankrupted on it, it went sour, and he owes a huge sum of money, and he wants to pay back the people who gave him the deposits. He wants to give back the money to the people who gave him the deposits, and he's here to raise money, and will the Satmar Rebbe, will Rav Yailish give him a bracha? And Rav Yailish said to him, how much money are we talking about? And he said, we're talking about $70,000. And Rav Yailish said to him, this was a Monday night, and Rav Yailish said to him, come back Thursday night. Come back the same time Thursday night. So he said, I only came here for a bracha. To which Rav Yailish said to him, come back Thursday night. He came back on Thursday night, and he walked into Rav Yailish, and Rav Yailish looked at him and said to him, young man, tell me, is the story that you told me true, or did you make it up? So he looked at the Rebbe and he said to the Rebbe the following. He said, Rebbe, had I come to you to ask you for money, then you have the right to be chayshish me that I made up a story in order to get money out of you. But I never came for money, I came for a bracha. And if a person comes for a bracha, there's no reason why he should make up a story. Why should I make up a false story to get a bracha? Then what's the bracha going to help if the story is false? So Yailish thought for a moment and he opened up a drawer, which was under the table that he was sitting, and he took out a packet of money in cash. And he said to him, here, take this, it's $70,000. If you feel uncomfortable about it, when you have money again, you can pay me back and treat it as a loan. If you don't have money, then it's yours. Now go back to Eretz Yisrael and pay off your debts. So he turned around to Rav Yailish and he said to Rav Yailish, Rebbe, I want to ask you something. He said, what? He said, why were you chayshish me that I was lying? Why do you think that I was lying that when I walked in here tonight, you said to me, the first thing you said to me was, did you tell me the truth or didn't you tell me the truth? Why should you think I'm lying? So Rav Yailish answered him back and said to him, Vada guilt is mir ongekommen zu leicht. I made the money too easily. If it goes easy, there's something wrong. Something's involved. Sitra achra is involved. If it's difficult, then it's something good. Then it's something right. I want to suggest a reason why Eliezer was running around here. Why was Eliezer running around? Why, when he saw her coming, did he run in to meet her? And I want to suggest another reason, maybe, as to why it was that the first time the water rose up and the water came to her, and the second time she had to draw the water out of the well. The well. Obviously what Rav Yitzchak Berdichev says is emes, but I personally have a different understanding of it, which may also be correct. Eliezer, before he starts on this whole exercise of finding a wife for Yitzchak, he gets up and he davens. And what does he say? He says, Vayemer. He says, Hashem Elikim, the master, the God of my master Avram, Hakre nolefonai hayom, v'asei chesed im Adoni Avram. Make sure that today the whole thing finishes. That today I'll find the right girl and everything will be fine. When he says over the story, when he's sitting by Besuel and Lavan, and he's saying over the story, he's relating to them how Avram sent him on this shlichus and what he did. He says over to them the fact that he davened. And what does he say to them? He says, I davened to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then he says to them, and you know what happened? And I came today to the well, and your sister, daughter, came out of the well, etc., 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 etc. And Rashi says there Why did he say, I came today to the well? I came to the well. Who cares whether it was today, whether it was yesterday? Right? What's the nafka minna when he arrived at the well? So Rashi says that the reason why he emphasized that I came today to the well was to say that, you know what, I davened and the Ribbono Shel Olam fulfilled my tefillah. This whole exercise happened in one day. And you know what? This is how Rashi touches up what Eliezer is saying. Normally the journey that I took to get from Avraham Avinu to here should have taken me days. But what? A miracle happened. And I miraculously got here within a very short period of time. Kvitzis HaDerech, the way jumped for me. There's no way, Derech HaTeva, there's no natural way in which I could have got here so quickly. So I want you guys to know, this is what Eliezer is saying, that God is manipulating here the whole story. Because the very way in which I got here was Derech Nes. In other words, the starting point is that when Eliezer sets out on his trip, when Eliezer sets out in order to fulfill the mission that he was given, what's the first thing that happens? He sees very clearly that the Ribbono Shel Olam does him a Nes. If a Nes happens, that's a simon that it's an Eis Rotzon. That's a simon that the Ribbono Shel Olam is sending down Hashpah. That the Ribbono Shel Olam is sending you a message, and not only a message, but he's sending you something concrete. He's sending you a Siyata Dishmaya. That's what a Nes is all about. I'm here, I'm holding your hand, I'm helping you out. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying when he does a Nes. And when the Ribbono Shel Olam is sending you a Nes, and it's an Eis Rotzon, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is holding your hand, utilize it to the utmost degree. Grab the opportunity. Don't miss the boat. And therefore, what did Eliezer do? Eliezer saw this tremendous shefa that's coming down from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he said, you know what, I'm not going to miss this. I'm going to grab this opportunity. So he started running. He started doing the utmost he could do to utilize the opportunity that the Ribbono Shel Olam was giving him. The Ribbono Shel Olam appears to Moshe Rabbeinu in a burning bush. Moshe Rabbeinu has an apparition. Moshe Rabbeinu sees, as it were, Kavyochel, the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Ribbono Shel Olam talks to him, and Ribbono Shel Olam says to him, Anoichi Elokei Avicha, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Vayaster Moshe Ponov. Moshe covers up his face. Why? Ki yorei mihibet zeh Elokim. Because he doesn't think that he's on the Madrega to look at Elokim. In Parshas Kisiso, that's in Parshas Shemais, in Parshas Kisiso, Moshe Rabbeinu turns around to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hareini Nos Kfeidecha. I want to see you. I want to understand how you work. I want to understand what the Hashkoch is. I want to understand how you run the world. I want to understand what you're doing with my life. What are you, Ribbono Shel Olam, doing with my life? And what does the Ribbono Shel Olam say to him? The Ribbono Shel Olam says to him, no, you can't. Kilo Yerani Odom Bachai. Impossible. There's a Gemara in Brachas Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. What does the Gemara say in Brachas Daf Zayin Amud Aleph? The Gemara says as following: Tana Mishmei Rabbi Yishur Ben Kocha. That a conversation went on here between the Ribbono Shel Olam and between Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hareini Nos Kvaidecha. I want to understand Hashgach. I want to understand what's going on in the world. I want to understand what's going on with my family. I want to understand what's going on with me. Explain to me. Explain to me how you work. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kesheratzisi, when I wanted to do that, Lo Ratzisa, you didn't want. Because when I was in the snare and I was willing to do that, what did you do? Vayaster Moshe Ponov. True, you did it out of humility. True, you felt that you weren't on the Madrega. True, that even according to Aman Domer in the Gemara there in Brachas, he got a schar for that. The schar that his face shone was b'schar that he hid his face. But at the end of the day, you didn't grab the opportunity. You missed the opportunity. You missed the opportunity every time, every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month has its own function and its own purpose. You didn't grab that opportunity, which was the purpose of that minute. You've lost it. It will not come again. It's not going to hit you again. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Chizkiyahu HaMelech should have been Mashiach. That's what the Gemara says in Perech in Sanhedrin. Chizkiyahu HaMelech should have been Mashiach. And in fact, when Chizkiyahu HaMelech created a matzav in Klal Yisrael that everybody was learning Torah and it became an idealistic, utopian, spiritual society, the Malachim came to the Ribbono Shel Olam, they said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he did it! He did what was meant to happen! He is Mashiach, so let's get the process started. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says no. Ask the Malachim to the Ribbono Shel Olam, why not? Because he didn't say Shira on the Nisim that happened to him. He didn't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim that happened to him. What Nisim, says Rashi, two options. Either the nest that he was successful in the war that he was running, or the nest that he was deathly sick and the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him a miraculous recovery. And the Gemara there continues, and the Gemara says that there was an argument which bent backwards and forwards between the Malachim and between the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Moshe Rabbeinu mixes in. And they say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he didn't say Shira. He had a good reason why he didn't say Shira. Because he was Isaac B'Talmud Torah, B'Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, and he felt it was B'tal Torah to say Shira. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you know what? Very nice. We will send him flowers for Shabbos, that he wasn't Mevatel Torah. He will get his schar that he wasn't Mevatel Torah. But he missed the opportunity. There was that split second when there was an Eitz Rotzon. There was that split second when there was a shefa from the Ribbono Shel Olam that he was willing to bring Mashiach. And he didn't grab that opportunity. He didn't grab the moment. You don't grab the moment, you've missed it. It doesn't come back again. Rivka saw a nest happening. She saw the water coming up towards her. She wasn't stupid. She realized that the Ribbono Shel Olam was doing a nest for her. The Ribbono Shel Olam was doing a nest for her. Grab the moment. Grab the opportunity. Put some effort in. And if you put your own effort in, then the nest will continue. The Ribbono Shel Olam will continue with the shefa. So she ran to the well and she was shoyev from the well. She started doing it herself. Grabbing the moment. And grabbing the moment doesn't mean who knows what. Big things. The Gemara says that Shaul HaMelech, who suffered, Chazal say this, he suffered from depressions. Chazal call it melancholy. That's what we call depression. And he had mood swings. And Goliath is coming, the Pishtim are coming to attack Klal Yisrael. And Shaul HaMelech is in the middle of one of these depressions. And he can't handle the situation. He doesn't know what to do. He can't put his act together, says the Gemara. Chazal is saying this, not me. He can't put his act together. He can't get... And he's lost. And Goliath the Pishti is coming out every day and he's cursing out Shaul HaMelech and he's cursing out Klal Yisrael and he's cursing out the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Shaul HaMelech says, anybody who knows how to solve this problem can marry my daughter. David HaMelech is the one, as we all know the story, kills Goliath. But Shaul HaMelech has this love-hate relationship with David. And he's choshesh David. The David's trying to take over the Melech, and he was right. He knew that somebody had been anointed Melech to be in his stead because he lost the Melech because of the mess up that he made. He didn't listen to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he was, he didn't know 100%, but he was choshesh that it was David HaMelech. Therefore, he had this love-hate relationship with him. Sometimes he liked him, sometimes he hated him, and eventually he tried to kill him. And he didn't want that David HaMelech should marry his daughter. But it was a problem, because David HaMelech had been Mekadesh her. So he came up with a theory which had logic in it and had rationale in it. It wasn't just stump. That the kiddushin that David HaMelech had made with his daughter wasn't a good kiddushin. Therefore she wasn't an Eishes Ish, therefore she can marry anybody that she wants. And he went and he took his daughter and he married her off to a guy called Palti, who was one of Shaul HaMelech's entourage. Palti was a tzaddik. Palti held that this woman is an Eishes Ish, and therefore he's not allowed to live with her as a husband and wife. On the other hand, he's got a problem. He can't say that to David HaMelech, because if he says that to David HaMelech, that I don't agree with you, then he'll be a married b'malchus, and if he's a married b'malchus, he'll be chayav misa. So the guy's stuck. What does he do? So he married her. They went through a marriage ceremony. But he knew that it was fiction, because he knew that he was being mekadesh and eishes ish. But then they moved into the same house. They had to make the impression that they're living together as a husband and wife. So they moved into the same house. And the Gemara says that what did he do? He put a sword between the two beds. And he turned around to his wife and he said, anybody who crosses this sword, I will take the sword and I will kill them, whether it's you or whether it's me. And they lived together for tens of years without having any relationship as a husband and wife. And therefore, say Chazal, that from then on, he's not referred to in the Torah as being Palti, but he's referred to Nach as Paltiel. Why? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam was mafli him, threw him out from doing an Aveira, stopped him from doing an Aveira. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz once asked, I heard this once in a shmooze, he asked the following question. He said, I don't understand. He said, the guy stuck a sword. And he said, anybody who crosses this sword will be killed. Who put the sword there? He put the sword there. So if he wants to do the Aveira, he'll take the sword out. What's he going to do? Kill himself? He's not going to kill himself. In other words, what was the point of the exercise? How is this sword going to make any difference? So he had his answer. I think the answer is Pasha. The answer is that when they came back on the wedding night, the fact that he was able to be Miss Gabriel Yitzray was a ness. Palti saw that as a ness. It's a ness that two human beings in such a massive of Nisoyen can hold out. He said, if I can hold out, that means there's a shefa here. If there's a shefa here, all I have to do is to do my little bit and the Ribbono Shel Olam will throw me in the rest. It doesn't have to be anything big. All I have to do is stick a sword in. Yeah, I can take the sword out, but it doesn't make any difference because the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to give me this Yad HaNishmaya. Why is he going to give me this Yad HaNishmaya? Because he sees if I'm doing my bit, even though my bit is minimal, then his holding my hand will carry on. But basically we're holding a few days before Rosh Chodesh Kislev, not far off. We are 3 months into the year. Anybody who came here, anybody who walked through these doors, with the exception of certain individuals, right? You know, the guys who come with an attitude that I have no choice. You know, what can I do? It's my mother, it's my father, it's my uncle, it's the guy who's giving me money to be here. But the normal guy who walks into Lev Aryeh, he comes in with a cheshek. He comes in with a desire. He comes in, he wants to do something. And you go through, and I'm not talking now about the guys who miss the momentum. They don't even grab the first moment. The guy who from the beginning of El is already missing the moment. They're Agafrek. They're the Ribbono Shel Olam's Yosemim. He's got his orphanage for them. There they will burn. That's a whole different story. I'm talking about the guys who come and they come with a cheshek. They come because they want to make a new start. They come because they want to do. They know that it's not going to work the whole time. They know that there are going to be ups and downs. They know that they're going to be different days. There will be days like this and days like that. They know that. But they're doing their best. And even when you're in such a matzav that you're doing your best, human nature is such that when it gets to this time, it starts dying down. It starts dying down, that's the matzias. Why? Because the first few months, if a guy comes to a yeshiva with a serious intent, the Ribbono Shel Olam works miracles. Ribbono Shel Olam works nisim. And the nes is the shefa that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives. He holds our hands that there should be a geshmak in learning. He holds our hands that we should get back if we had it once and we lost it, geshmak in learning. If we never had it, he gives it to us. Basher Shalom, every guy, whoever he is. The Ribbono Shel Olam holds our hand. But my Rebbe Rebbe Lapin used to say the following. The ideal utopian situation is a child in its mother's womb. He's there for 9 months and he's got no daigas whatsoever. Food, he's got. Sleep, he's got. A heating system, he's got. He's never too hot and he's never too cold. And what, even more, he's got the best Rebbe in the world. He's got a Malach that's teaching him Torah. And he once said to me the following. Ich habe mein Leben gesehen, a tinnig b'mei imoi, a uber b'mei imoi, was bleibt dort mehr wie 9 Monate. So in my life I've never seen a child, an embryo in its mother's womb, that was there more than 9 months. I later showed him a Meiri, which says that he can be there 12 months, and he said, say, there's all times 12 Monate. Okay, so let it be 12 months. He says, more than 12 months, it's not going to be there. It's going to come out eventually. The Siyata Dishmaya, the Ness, that the Ribbono Shel Olam does with every single individual when he makes a decision in life that he's going to try to do the right thing, is that the Ribbono Shel Olam holds his hand, but it's for a limited amount of time. In a yeshiva, it's from Rish Chodesh El to Rish Chodesh Kislev. That's when the Ribbono Shel Olam holds your hand. But then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, okay, I'd come. I held your hand until now. Now, let's see what you're going to do. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is not asking you to become the world's greatest masmid. Right? You're not expected to become the world's greatest masmid. Nobody's expecting us to become Reb Chaim Kanievskis and Abdul Ben Chaim Lechaim. Nobody's expecting that our brains will develop and that we'll become Meitzer to Elohim. No way. That's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam is expecting. But what the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying to us is L'chol HaPachas, something symbolic. In the same way as Palti put the sword in, it has no Teyeles. If I'm going to sit down and make a philosophical analysis of what I did, it looks like a meaningless act. But for the Rishon Ben Yishlaim, it's not meaningless. The Ben Yishlaim is going to say, fine, you did that, I'll let the Shefa keep going. It'll keep going, it'll go another 3 months, and then you'll do another symbolic act, and it'll go another 3 months. Something small. Once a week, it's Tefillah B'Tzibur. Sit down on a Friday, 20 minutes, and open up a Sefer. Sit down on a Motzi Shabbos for a quarter of an hour and open up a Sefer. That's all the Ribbono Shel Olam is asking for. He's saying, give me something. And if you give him something, then the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us Siyata Dishmaya. History has proven, and we'll say this time and time again, and it's not going to help because it's going to go into one ear and out the other ear because there's nothing in between, it's a vacuum. But history has proven it's a Metzias. The Metzias is that there are products of Lev Arya who today are Talmidei Chachomim Muflogim. There are Yungalites who learnt in Lev Arya who, when they walk into a room, both I and Rabbi Lapin stand up. Because you're talking about guys who know a large chelik of Shas with the Londas. These were all guys who, at least at a certain point, they didn't overnight become Masmidim, but they were consistently doing something more. They were making a gesture towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. And every time they made a gesture towards the Ribbono Shel Olam threw in a tremendous amount of Siyata Dishmaya, a tremendous amount of Shefa. And if we make that small gesture to the Ribbono Shel Olam will bring down his Shefa, and everybody here will steig in the way in which he wants to and the Ribbono Shel Olam wants him to. Okay.